This broadcast is general in nature and is provided for informational use only and should not be considered investment advice or an offer for a particular security. Views and opinions expressed are those of Richard Bassett and are subject to change based on market and other conditions. Consult an investment professional regarding your unique situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Keep in mind, investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. Investment decisions should be based on an individual's own goals, time horizon, and tolerance for risk. Securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity.
If your retirement is just a few years away, it may be time to adjust your investing strategy.
The shocking statistic is that by the time somebody reaches 65, 95%, they're dead broke, they're dependent on family, or they're dependent on government.
It's important that people deal with someone to make sure to prove and provide lifetime income.
Welcome to the Financial Planning Hour, presented by J. Marshall Associates of Fall River, hosted by financial advisor Richard Bassett. Over the next hour, be prepared to hear ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. It's time to roll up our sleeves and get to it. Now, here's the host of the Financial Planning Hour, Richard Bassett.
And welcome into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live in studio today on this Monday, April 22nd. If you've got questions, feel free to give us a call, 508-673-1480. Again, 508-673-1480 if you want to be part of the conversation today. So I was away last week, nothing much, just a little New Hampshire getaway with the wife and kids, April school vacation week. And of course, it happens a lot when I'm away. The stock market had a pretty bad run last week. In fact, 6 negative days in a row. That is not a record, but it's certainly not a good trend. Good news is that as of right now, as the start of the show, it does look like it's going to end with 6 down days in a row. Looks like today will eke out a positive return in the S&P 500. So that's good news. And, you know, what's more interesting is what happens after a pullback. And this is really what it is, a dip, a pullback, whatever you want to call it. But oftentimes people get very anxious about dips. And quite frankly, they're inevitable one, and they're required for the market to do its thing. Stock market goes up, stock market goes down. We hope it goes more up than down. But in the long run, if we look at last year, again, in the rearview mirror now, remember July and August and September were not good months in the stock market recent history, but yet the market finished positive for the year. So we don't really focus, or at least I try not to focus clients' attention on, you know, week to week, day to day, month to month returns. Really what I'm looking at is the overall year. Did it finish positive? Did it finish negative? And if it did, you know, one way or the other, what can we do to improve that? So there is a history of after a pullback like this 6-day drop the S&P has experienced, we tend to have a bit of a growth spurt afterwards because people want to buy the dip. And that's what people will usually do. So that's a good thing long term. So again, you know, if you want to set your clock to it, if I go away, chances are the stock market's not going to do very, very well.
So yeah, mark your calendars for Richard goes away.
Yeah. You know. July 4th week.
yeah, but you know, that's the time to buy, right?
Yeah, it really is. And that's the hard part is a lot of people are counterintuitive and they think they put their emotions with their money, which is obviously a natural thing. We all do it, including myself. But you know, the reality is you're exactly right, Dave. Human nature, we want to buy high and sell low. We wait for the market to tell us things are good, and then we buy it after, you know, the fact when we should have bought it before the fact.
And then it goes down, and you're disappointed.
Correct. That's exactly what happens. And, you know, for some reason, it's always been that way. I think it's why financial advisors like myself exist. So, you know, we want to buy those dips, especially if we have long-term track history. You know, we have a long-term horizon before our investment objectives are going to be met. It's always good to buy the dip because that's where you make quite a bit of money. You know, one of the things we talk about with clients that are starting out building wealth, you don't need a ton of money to start, but you got to start somewhere, right? And, you know, $50, $100 a month doesn't sound like a lot, but it can add up over time. I had a client one time, it was a funny story. They had an investment with me. I had my secretaries call into the investment company to get an update on the value of the account they had. And the person on the other end of the phone said, well, which account? And my secretary said, there's only one. And she goes, no, there's two. Unfortunately, Richard's not the advisor, so I can't really tell you any information on the other. So when I brought him in for the review, I said, you know, here's what I know about this investment, but do you know you have another one at this company? They said, no. We have no idea. And looking back, it was the husband's account. Husband's not as good with money as the wife is, I don't think. And he thought it was like a cable bill. $50 a month. Heath was paying that $50 a month since his like middle 20s. And when we got them on the phone with the investment company, their investment was like $125,000.
That is awesome.
From $50 a month. So, you know, I always tell clients, you got to start somewhere. That's the key to getting started. Just start somewhere. But, you know, what worked for that client in that, you know, kind of strange situation is simple. He dollar cost averaged in every month religiously because he didn't even know he was doing it. So $50 a month went in every month on the 15th, let's say, of every month. It didn't matter if the stock market was high or low that year. It didn't matter if there was COVID or bird flu or what have you. He just continued to make those $50 buys. And as a result, he was rewarded for two reasons. One, consistency. Two, patience. He didn't really know he was exerting because he didn't know the investment existed, but it did. And the third thing is just, it's patience. It's time. You know, it's time. It's making time work for you. And that's the one thing as financial advisors, we cannot give you more of. It's time. So, you know, one of my favorite meetings is not certainly not the most profitable meetings, but some of my favorite meetings are with young people, you know, 23, 24 year old kids getting started. Maybe they just had a baby. Maybe they just bought a house. Maybe they got married and they're getting ready to start a life. And they want to put everything on hold. You know, they want to get the house first and the snowblower and the new car and the baby and the dog and the white picket fence. I get all that. I do. I really, really do. But don't put your retirement on hold, not even for a minute, not even for a minute, because it takes time. I recently met with another client who a couple of years ago, the market got kind of sideways and they stopped investing altogether. They decided for those 2 or 3 years that went by that they were no longer going to invest, and they made a decision. The decision was not to fund their retirement.
What?
Yeah, that was their decision. And ultimately, that decision is going to cost you because what did you just use? You used 3 years of time that no financial advisor can possibly give you back. So, you know, you've really got to stay consistent. I have a young client I talk about regularly. When I started working with her, she was 16 years old. She invested a ton of money for her age. And she told me better than most people ever have, the reason she can afford to invest now is because she lives at home. Her parents pay most of her bills. So she's got expendable income. She knows she won't have when she gets older, has kids, buys a house, gets married. So she wants to pad her retirement now with extra money she doesn't need now, knowing that later on she might have to change her objectives or her contribution amount, certainly, but that's okay as long as she continues to push that ball forward, which is the key. So, you know, I think as we think about investing, I think a lot of us think, you know, you've got to come in to see the advisor, you've got to have $1 million or more. We've never said that. We have clients that, again, start out at 16 years old. We have my oldest client, 97 years old. I got a call a couple of weeks ago from a client of mine who got his 95th birthday card.
Nice.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So that happened while I was away. The S&P did not do well. Other thing that happened while I was away was tax day. On technically for us it was Wednesday the 17th, but for the rest of the world it was Monday, April 15th. So if Dave's looking at me funny because he hasn't filed his taxes yet, I'm sure he has, but if you haven't filed your taxes yet, you better be on extension.
Yeah.
Because taxes are due. And if you owe money, you can't really file for an extension. So you better be getting a refund if you haven't filed your taxes yet. And you know, the question I always ask around tax time is, did you owe? Did you get any money back? If you owed, you didn't pay enough. And if you got money back, you paid too much. I remember, this is years ago, story. A client of mine I was visiting with happened to be on tax day. And older couple, they pulled out some paperwork and said, what's all this mean? I said, it means it's taxes. You got to file your taxes. And I said, well, we haven't filed in years.
Really?
We don't have to file. I said, oh, okay. I'm not an accountant. I'm not a CPA. But I recommend you file. So I ended up putting them in the car, driving them down to a local tax preparer. Luckily, I was able to get in, and they went over all the paperwork, came out. They paid that tax preparer, if I remember correctly, they paid $200 for the tax preparation work, and they ended up getting a $1,000 refund. So $800 net gain to them just by filing your taxes. So another point of taxation is, remember this, just because you say you don't have to file doesn't mean you shouldn't. You can't get refunds if you do not file. Yes, there are income limits that you certainly, if you're under, you are not required to file. But that's not the question. The question is, should you file? Most likely, in my opinion, the answer is yes.
Well, if you want to get a loan, you need to have some kind of documentation of income, and taxes is of those.
Yeah, taxes help. As you get older, Dave, we don't need as much income documentation, right? Because we buy our house.
Yeah.
We have our car. Hopefully, if we buy another one, maybe we're at the point now we can pay cash or close to it kind of thing. So, but I understand your point completely. You know, you've got to really think about, you know, should I file? That's really, the question is, will I get money back or won't I? And if I'm going to get money back, well, the answer is always file.
Sure.
Always file. And it doesn't hurt to get a second opinion, whether it's, you know, from a CPA, whether it's a tax preparer. It does not matter. Just someone who's more knowledgeable about the subject than you. Because let's face it, if you're not filing and you're owed refunds, you're leaving money in the government's pocket.
Well, if you are owed money by the government, then that means you've given them an interest-free loan for the whole year.
Yeah.
And if you don't get it back, then you don't get it back at all.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the other thing that's happened too recently is income numbers and tax laws have changed. Former presidents changed tax laws. Current presidents changed tax laws again. And some of the changes affect you. I had a client meeting today and she was talking about, hey, you know, usually I get money back. This year I owe $2,000. What do you think? And I started breaking it down with her. What do we look at? We said, okay, do you have money withheld from Social Security? No. Okay. Well, I still work. Okay. Maybe you're not withholding enough there. That's quite possible. You're not withholding anything from Social Security. So maybe you need to withhold more from work. And then you know what? Almost like the light dawned on the stone head. She said, you know, last year I took your advice and I took some of that bank money and I moved it to a CD at the bank and I ended up earning more interest. And I said, well, there you go. No withholding on Social Security, not enough withholding on earned income. And now you're making more interest at the bank on those CDs. That 5% rate's really good, but it is taxable at the end of the term. And as a result, that's why you ended up paying this year as opposed to owing. But I did tell her, you know, you've got to think about that. There is no such thing as a perfect tax return. That's kind of a myth. And if you think that's the goal of every American, perfect tax return, Dave. They want to have perfection. And I love that, right?
Oh, well, accuracy is good.
It is good. You want to be accurate with the IRS. Yeah. Trust me on that one.
But, knocking on your door.
But more importantly, I think what I'm talking about is you have to have the understanding that you're either going to owe or you're going to get money back. You're not going to come out 0-0.
Hmm.
You know, that just doesn't work. That's that perfect tax return. So you've got to be aware of that. But, you know, it was interesting. I had a conversation with my son last week. We had some time together. And I want to talk about that after the break because it's really, I think, disconnect between young people and middle-aged and older people that really is going to cause us a lot of problems going forward in this country. And we'll talk more about that after the break. Again, if you need help retiring successfully, you can give my office a call. We will make it happen for you. 508-673-3300.
For baby boomers, here's something to think about. Will you have enough income during your retirement? Are you absolutely sure? Do you understand the difference between growth and income? How about bonds and bond funds? Are you 100% ready for RMDs? Do you have an estate plan? If you've said no to any of these, we can help. Right now, for the first 5 callers, we'll send you a free, custom-designed, animated video retirement kit to help you plan for the retirement you've worked so long and so hard for. These custom video kits are loaded with cutting-edge retirement technology custom-designed to your specific areas of need. There's nothing else like them. So call right now to receive your very own custom-designed animated video retirement kit. Call 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. Call now or visit us online at financialplanninghour.com. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. Question for Richard. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back to the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live today on this Monday, April 22nd. If you've got questions, feel free to give us a call, 508-673-1480. Again, 508-673-1480. So as I was saying before the break, there is no perfect tax return. Ultimately, you're either going to pay or you're going to owe. I would love to have a perfect tax return because every year I have dread when it comes to tax day, because I have to pay normally. And I think that's one of the things I do recommend to all clients is it's smart. Work with a tax preparer. Work with a CPA. Work with a tax preparer. I know in February I got a little love note from the IRS telling me that I owed him money from last year's taxes.
Wow.
And I was like, well, I haven't even paid you for this year's taxes. Huh. So that doesn't sound good. And of course, my trusted CPA, one of my confidants, was able to look at my tax return in about 30 seconds, tell me you paid that, and show me in writing. And I was like, well, that's good to know. And I asked, what do I need to do?
Yeah.
How do I talk to the IRS? And he goes, I do that. You just sit back and look pretty. And I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do then.
That works for me. Hire a tax professional. The rules change every year, and they're not rules. They're laws, people. They're laws. Take care of those things.
The tax code is the size of Dave. If I put Dave down on the floor and put all the books that go with it, it's literally the size of Dave. It's one Dave Brown tall. It is huge. So last week, I had a little time to talk to my son. And just for those who don't know, he's 15. Plus years old, and we'll see if he makes it to 16 or 30. He's going, but right now he's a handful. So he is getting to the age of cars. He wants to start talking about cars, and he likes cars. He likes to look at cars. I drove home with him yesterday, and every car he went by, he liked. He really was staring down these cars quite a bit.
It's one of those. That's my car.
Yeah, that's the car I want. Ooh, I want that car. And it was funny because I said, well, what kind of car do you think you can afford? And he said, well, my school chum, my buddy, said, I can make $35,000 working in a supermarket bagging groceries this summer. And I said, really? I said, let's start there. I said, your friend, first of all, I'm not going to call him a liar, but I'm going to call him inexperienced.
Yeah, okay.
And he thinks he can make $35,000 a year, but he can't.
Did he do the math? Well, hours?
No,
minimum wage?
These kids don't do that. They don't do math.
They don't teach math anymore.
No, they teach math. But what ends up happening is they take whatever they read on the internet as the gospel.
Yes.
It is the only thing they believe, whether it comes from YouTube or TikTok, I don't know. But anyway, so sitting with my son, I said, Ben, let's talk about this. So we did. And I said, what's the minimum wage in Massachusetts right now? And he goes, I don't know. I said, well, it's $15 an hour. So let's start there. $15 an hour. And I said, how many hours a week can you work? And he says, I don't know. I said, well, the answer is 40. No one's going to hire a kid during the summer to work more than 40 hours. Just not going to do it. I also said, chances are there's other kids that want to work too, so you might not even get 40 hours, because if I was running a grocery store, I would hire more kids than I need, knowing the first sunny day, some of the kids are not showing up, because let's face it, kids do that nowadays. So, but I said, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You're going to work $15 an hour, and you're going to work 40 hours a week. That math comes out to $600 a week. And he said, great, I'm going to have $600 a week to do whatever I want with. I said, no. You've got to pay taxes. That's the tie-in, folks. You got to pay taxes, federal and state taxes. And he says, well, what are taxes? And I said, well, taxes are something we all pay because it maintains the roads and the police departments and the fire departments and the school systems and, bridges that need to be repaired and highways that are crumbling underneath us, all these things that are important. So he said, okay. So I said, well, how many weeks in the summer? Again, he's 15, so he's like, I don't know. You get 10 weeks off of school. You leave in June. You start the beginning of September, so it works out to just about 10 weeks. So I said, $600 times 10 weeks, what's that? He goes, that's $6,000. I said, that's right, but you got to pay federal and state taxes. So after you minus out about 20% federal and state taxes, you're going to end up with $4,800. And he said, well, the car I want's $35,000. I said, here's why you think you can make $35,000 back in groceries one summer. I said, because you want something that you want, and now you think, geez, how can I get it? I'll just earn more. I'll earn a bunch. And I said, Ben, you're only going to get $4,800, not $35,000. That's a pretty big difference. And he says, yeah, Dad, that's what kind of car can I afford for $4,800? And I said, well, I'm glad you asked. And I sat him down with a little application I use on my phone called cars.com. Shameless plug. I do like them. I'm sure there's many others you can find. Usedcars.com, carsforsale.com. I'm sure there's a million of them. You can go to a local dealership. But I literally sat with him and I typed in search criteria showing him a used car with under, say, 50, 60,000 miles for $4,800. And his reaction was priceless.
What happened?
Well, a bunch of cars came up and he started asking me questions about what's a Neon? What's a, you know, what's a Fiesta? What's a this? What's a that? Cars he had never heard of because he had only looked at $35,000 cars in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed him there's a whole other world out there called cars you can actually afford.
There you go.
And I showed him that, you know, there are some very nice, safe, reliable cars that you could afford for $4,800. And his reaction was, I don't want to drive those.
He doesn't want a reliable car.
No, he doesn't want a car.
He wants a cool car.
He wants a cool car.
Yeah.
He wants a cool car. I was talking about this with a client of mine last week, and he said he was driving some car in the 70s, and some guy with a hot shot, you know, Trans Am or something said to him, do you notice people staring at you when you drive your car? And my client, kind of an old school guy, said, no, I'm too busy looking at the road.
Yeah.
And I love that answer. But, you know, for my son, it was really a wake-up call. And I think that's something we all need to be aware of. Because let's face it, you know, things are getting more expensive. And that includes cars for my son and retirement for you. The reality is that inflation has come down some, but it's certainly not going away. And may never go away. I continue to argue that if I am Kleenex and I can sell a box of 95 tissues for $5 as opposed to the box of 110 tissues I used to sell for $4, why would I ever go back? Because ultimately, and this is a big takeaway, the customer doesn't matter. The stockholder does. The stockholder is the one that says, keep the profits rolling and I want that money coming in. And really, I don't care how you do it. And if you don't do it, I'm going to find a CEO and a COO and a CFO that will do it. And that's why, you know, people like my son need to have an understanding of the dollar doesn't go as far as it used to. And when I told my son, when he was unhappy with his car results, I said, you know, maybe you should have thought about this a couple years earlier. Instead of buying the Xbox games you wanted, instead of buying the controllers and the headsets and the Beats and all the things that you felt like you couldn't live without, maybe you should have been focused on the big picture. And the big picture is, what are you going to drive your junior and senior year to high school? Because it's not going to be a car that Dad and Mom drive, because we worked a lot harder and a lot longer than you have to this point in your life. But, you know, it's really fascinating when you think about taxes and kids' understanding of taxes, which really they have none. So it's so important to have that discussion with young people when you can. So we're going to take our next break and we'll come back strong. But when we come back, I want to talk about the eighth wonder of the world.
And I can't wait.
Yes, sir. If you need help retiring successfully, you can call my office. We will give you a free consultation, 508-673-3300.
In a world filled with volatile markets and risky, high-fee investment choices, you feel alone and confused.
Does the thought of planning for retirement remind you of a scary Hollywood movie trailer? Call now for a free, no-obligation retirement income kit packed full of easy-to-understand information designed to help you create and maintain steady, predictable retirement income that can never be lost in the market. Call today, 855-406-6218, or download it now, financialplanninghour.com. You've worked too long and too hard to allow your retirement to play out like a scary movie trailer. So call right now, 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. Ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live today in studio. If you've got questions, feel free to give us a call, 508-673-1480, if you'd want to be part of that conversation. So I was talking in the last segment about my son's reality check with his summer job. You know, as I reminded him, if we could make $35,000 a year bagging groceries in 10 weeks, we would all be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But he really got a good understanding of it. And, you know, it was nice to check in with him a day after the conversation and see, did you understand money a little bit better? Do you understand why I get upset when you waste money or cost me money that unexpectedly, things like that? And he goes, yeah, I do.
Good. So, okay. It's a lesson well learned.
Yeah. And I think if we put more time into our children at home and in the school system with the real life skills they're going to need to be fully formed humans, I think we'll all be better off, hopefully, in the long run. So as my son learned the hard way, it's not about what you make. It's about what you keep. So his first understanding of taxes is, you know, they're going to take money out of my check because that's what they do. And everybody does it. There's no way around it.
Nope.
So, you know, you can make $6,000 in the course of a summer, but you're only going to get to keep about $4,800 of that money. So it's not what you make, it's what you keep. Tax deferral, as I teased in the last bumper, is like the eighth wonder of the world, Dave. Tax deferral, that's why tax deferral is such a big deal. Tax deferral is like the eighth wonder of the world. Tax deferral has two different components to it.
What are they?
I'm going to tell you.
Excellent.
That's why you're tuning into the Financial Planning Hour here, Mondays at 1 on WSAR. It's two components. The first component is tax deferral on your interest. So you can earn interest and not pay taxes on it. You know, you can buy municipal bonds, you can buy tax-free investments, tax-deferred investments, tax-free investments, but you can defer taxes on your interest. So instead of having to take money out every year to pay taxes on the interest you've earned, and therefore your money grows more slowly, now your money gets to grow at its full speed because there is no drag against it. So let's say you're making 5% on an investment that's taxable, but you only get to keep 3% because 2% goes to the taxes.
Yes.
That's not so good. So it's like riding a tandem bike. And you'll like this, Dave, because you're creative.
I want to hear it.
But only one of you is pedaling.
Oh.
And the other person's dragging their feet.
Yeah.
You'll still get where you're going, but you're going to go a lot slower and probably get a lot more frustrated to it, I imagine.
A lot more work. A lot more energy expended for nothing.
A lot more work. And that's really the drag, right? And that's what taxes do to an investment. They drag down results. They increase the amount of time to reach your results because you're paying money to the federal and state government. The second component of tax deferral is the ability to make pre-tax contributions. Now, these numbers are pretty impressive, and I'm going to go over them a couple times. Let's say you're putting money into a 401k. You're essentially getting a match from the IRS because now you have less tax withholding. So in other words, if you're in the 20% federal tax bracket and you put $100 in, it's really like putting $120 in because you're not paying the federal taxes you normally would on distributions. So you're like getting a match from the IRS in a creative way, but certainly something we could work with. On the subject, I have clients who have decided, for whatever reason, before they met us, to not contribute to their 401k at work because they didn't get a match. Because the company didn't give them free money, they decided they didn't want to give any money of their own to their own retirement.
That doesn't sound good.
It's not. That's why I said it like that.
I mean, well, you know, if your company's matching, that's great.
It's great.
And you're saving, doubling your money, but
yep.
If you don't put any in, you're not going to have any for later.
Correct. If you don't invest for yourself, who will?
Yeah.
Obviously, we love matching, and obviously, it's a conversation with employers. But at the end of the day, if they choose not to offer a match and you choose not to invest as a result, you are really costing yourself, again, something I can't give you more of, time and compound interest. And that's a big, big deal. So getting back to what I was saying about tax deferral being the eighth wonder of the world. Again, if you put money into a 401k or an IRA, it's like getting a match from the IRS because you're not paying taxes on those deposits. Now let's look at a real example. Let's assume you invested $5,000 a year for 30 years. So 30 times 5 is $150,000. Mm-hmm. That's what you invested. If you invested in regular taxable investments, assuming it grows an 8% rate of return, your $150,000 would have grown to $360,000, a full doubling of your money.
Yeah.
Not too bad. Not too bad. It took 30 years to do it, but not.
It doubled, though.
It doubled. It doubled. And that's paying taxes, earning 8% a year. But now, what if you got tax deferral on your interest and gains? So instead of paying taxes on your interest and gains every year, having that drag on your investment returns, let's say you invested in something that didn't pay tax on dividends, didn't pay tax on gains. Let's assume you use an index fund, maybe. They don't distribute gains usually. Now, and so that $150,000 now, because it's tax deferred on interest and gains, no distributions come out of it, that $150,000 would have grown to $560,000. Not the $360,000 that was taxable, $560,000. $200,000 more in your pocket by just deferring the taxes, federal and state.
That is pretty wondrous. I'm glad to hear about that.
Yeah, eighth wonder of the world.
I
deliver on my promises.
Yeah.
Okay. So you end up with an extra $200,000 because you got tax deferral on your interest and gains from year to year. Not that. Not bad.
I got to tell you, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
And I imagine a lot of your listeners haven't heard of it either. And I bet they're glad to hear it. And good reason to give them a call, guys.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah.
So what if you did pre-tax contributions?
What are those?
So that's investing money before you even pay tax on the money.
Why would you give your money away early?
Well, 401ks, IRAs, you're investing in those pre-tax.
Okay.
So if I put $23,000 into my 401k this year, it came out of my 401k, it came out of my paycheck before I paid taxes. So now I'm not paying any federal state tax on the money going in.
Oh.
And because I'm in a 401k in our example here, I'm also not paying any taxes on the interest and the gains I make, because that's all tax deferred. If you did that, so if you did a pre-tax contribution, the same 30 years, $5,000 a year, your total would be $810,000. So we went from $150,000,
yeah,
to $360,000, paying taxes as we go. We went to $560,000 if we have our interest and gains tax deferred. And if we had our interest and gains tax deferred and our contributions pre-tax, we're at $810,000. $360,000, $560,000, $810,000.
So are tax deferments permanent? Or
no.
Okay.
That's the problem.
I'm glad I asked that, I think.
Yeah, that's the problem. But it is the power of tax deferral, Dave.
Yes.
Is how quickly that number can change just by changing how you're paying your taxes as you go.
So even though you might have to pay it later on, it's good to do it now so you earn more money now.
Well, what I tell clients is, unfortunately, 401ks and IRAs are very popular because that's what's advertised through employers. That's what the federal government advertises as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's what your financial advisor will recommend, because that's the tools in their toolbox they have to work with. But ultimately, 401ks and IRAs are great accumulation tools, but they are not good income generating tools. And we've talked about this previously on past shows. There are three stages of investing. Accumulation. 401ks, IRAs are great at that. Preservation, not so much. Distributions, certainly not. They are growth vehicles. If you look at a 401k, if you look at all the investment choices you have different risks of mutual funds, different levels of risk mutual funds. One might be very conservative, one might be very aggressive, but at the end of the day, they're all in mutual funds. So when you retire, you're still in a growth vehicle, which is why people move their money out using a rollover, in-service distribution, what have you, to a IRA, because in the IRA world, there's a lot more choices. You can find an IRA that's designed to produce income. You can find an IRA that's designed to produce growth. You can find an IRA that does both if you want. So the reality is that, you know, the reason people move their money from 401ks at retirement time is because they really don't have a choice. They kind of are forced to, because the 401k company cannot give them everything in that growth platform that they could get elsewhere if they went out to look for their own IRA. So I think it's really, really important. And to go back to what you said, Dave, which is a great lead into our final segment of the show today, the hidden tax trap at retirement.
Hmm.
So it's not tax deferral forever, because eventually you're going to have to start taking money out of those retirement accounts. And at that point, you are going to pay those taxes. The downside to that is a lot of people in my business say, hey, don't worry, you'll be in a lower tax bracket. I ask them, how do you figure that? It's easy to say. It's very like reassuring. Don't worry, Dave, you'll be in a lower tax bracket.
Is that they say that because they're no longer working?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, you're still earning.
Still earning something.
Yeah.
Social Security's got taxation on it. Your pension checks and your investment checks, all that's got tax on it, right? And let's not forget some things you've lost along the way, probably. Your child tax care credits, they're gone.
Mm.
Hopefully your kids, you know, you're not trying to retire with 16-year-old kids in the house still, right? And on top of that, your mortgage interest is hopefully paid off. So now you're not getting a mortgage interest deduction. You're not getting child tax care credits. So a lot of your deductions and credits have gone, and you're still earning income, like you said, Dave. So as a result, I don't know if your tax bracket, yeah, your taxable income may go down, but I think your taxes are going to be pretty consistent throughout the life of your working years and retirement years. So you've got to be aware of that. And that's why, you know, I recommend people look to invest not only inside retirement for those incentives we talked about, tax deferral, tax, deferral, interest and credits and all that good stuff. But ultimately, what are you going to do if you retire and your only retirement asset is a 401k or IRA? Every dollar coming out of those accounts is taxable. Every dollar. And if you think, you know what, I'm not going to need this money because I got a great pension, I've got Social Security, I'm good. I understand. But what are you going to do when it comes to required minimum distributions? Now you're 73 years old and the federal government tells you you have to take money out. Have to.
Yeah, it's the law.
It's the
agreement. You made the deal.
Right. You got a tax deferral from 25 years old when you started working at the plant. Now you're 73, retired, hopefully, and you've never paid tax on that money. And now it's time to pay the piper. And the piper comes with a pretty hefty bill.
And don't forget, if you don't pay, you pay
double. 50% penalty.
Yeah.
50% penalty for that. So, you know, we'll talk about some things you can do outside of retirement after the break. But again, you know, the real goal is to invest. Invest, get your money working for you as best as you can, avoid taxes as long as you can, but understand that eventually you are creating a pretty big tax trap at retirement time. We'll talk a little bit more about that after the break. And again, if you need help retiring successfully, give my office a call. We will make it happen. 508-673-3300.
Investing in the stock market these days is like riding a roller coaster. Leaving a place of safety, get on the coaster, hear the clickety-clack as you experience anticipation climbing to the top of the hill, followed by sheer panic as you plummet back to the earth, hoping you stay on track. You might be brave enough to repeat the process several times, going up and down, but never achieving higher highs and accomplishing nothing but anticipation followed by fear. The stock market has been doing this same ride of volatility with no real growth. Proper education, though, can help you find a better way to grow your money during these times.
So, how's this latest stock market roller coaster treating you? It's time to get off and call Richard Bassett right now at 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. Today we've been talking about taxes in general, my son's idea of summer employment, lack thereof, knowledge, I guess, is the way to say that. And the ultimate, you know, eighth wonder of the world, tax deferral. Why is it so important to you to help you accumulate wealth? Unfortunately, tax deferral is not the end all be all, though. Oftentimes, I have clients that come in and their only, and I mean only asset, cash asset besides money in the bank, is a 401k or IRA, and that becomes a bit of an issue. And the issue is it's taxes. And where tax deferral is great, when it's time to pay the taxes, that's terrible. And unfortunately, we're not going to be in, you know, I don't think lower tax brackets are going to make such a significant difference. And to me, the issue is that now you're older and now you want more expensive stuff. So I'll give an example. You know, I have a client, I guess technically the words had a client because they cashed out their investments and they bought a motorhome. They bought a motorhome.
And, a trailer.
Yeah, a fifth wheel trailer. Actually, no, I'm sorry. It wasn't a fifth wheel. It was going to be a fifth wheel trailer. It ended up being a fully enclosed motorhome with the engine and the seats in the front. They've decided they're going to, you know, they're burned out of work. So they're going to retire early at 55 years old, cash out all their retirement assets, pay taxes, pay penalties, all of it at once, take what's left, and buy a motorhome. They just spent their whole retirement on one asset, on one purchase.
Do they have anything left?
No.
So they have a place to live, but no money to buy food or medical?
I think they're going to try to work as they go kind of thing. You know, like if they end up in Tempe, Arizona, they're going to try to find some part-time work for a couple weeks while they're there and then move on to the next place. And, you know, I think the point is that when you buy expensive stuff like a boat, a house, second house, car out of your 401k or IRA, you're overpaying because you're paying taxes. So, you know, let's say you walked in today to the car dealership and they had the exact car you want, $35,000. And you're like, wow, that's a good deal. Today's rates, that's great. I'm going to buy this car. And you call up your financial advisor, Richard Bassett, and you say, I'm down here at this dealership and I need $35,000 sent to my account because I'm going to write a check for this car. And I would say, well, your IRA, sir, ma'am, it's taxable. So you're not going to take out 35 to buy the car. You're going to take out 47.
Whoa, I was going to say 45, but you...
Yeah, yeah. And that's just quick math. 47. $47,000 under your 401k, pay your federal and state taxes, nets you 35, hand that over to the dealership, drive off happy, right? Except you just put $12,000 of a hit on your retirement account because you bought a lump sum purchase out of your 401k or IRA. So I try to encourage clients when they're younger, especially, to remember that. I like to use 401ks and IRAs for income, you know, moving those 401ks to IRAs, creating an income payment plan out of that. And then I like to have clients, if they have the ability, to save money outside of their retirement account. Now, this is almost like a lost art since the 401k world has been so good at marketing to you folks. But the reality is my wife and I do it, a lot of my clients do it, and we'll all be better off for doing it, putting money into an investment. My wife and I call it our high interest savings account. It's a jointly held mutual fund account with a local company. We put money in every month, and I can tell you that account most years grows. Some years it doesn't, so high interest savings can be high interest losing. But the reality is, over time, is now I've created another bucket of money that is fully liquid. I can get my hands on whenever I want. And there are really no tax considerations other than capital gains, which, FYI, capital gains rates are lower than ordinary income taxes for 90% of Americans. So I'm actually saving money by doing this. And then the best part is, if I need $5,000 to help my son buy a car, I only have to ask the investment company for $5,000. I don't need to ask for $7,000 to get the five after I pay my federal and state taxes. That's the beauty of it. So, you know, a lot of people, I think, when they hit their 401k limits, their IRA limits, they say, wow, great job, pat themselves on the back. That's great. You should be proud of that. Absolutely proud of that. But at the same time, your job's not done there. Then you go above and beyond, investing in other investments that will benefit you later on. I have never, ever, 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 in 24 years of doing this now, had a client that told me, I have saved too much money. I shouldn't have saved this much money. That's never the case. It's always shoulda, woulda, could have done more. So with that said, I'm going to wrap up, give Dave some time to talk. I am Richard Bassett, a financial advisor here at J. Marshall Associates in Fall River. We're directly across the street from the Watson School, 982 Eastern Avenue. Our phone number in the office is 508-673-3300 if you'd like to schedule a meeting. You can also find us on Facebook, and our website is jmarshallfinancial.com. What's new in the real estate world, Dave?
Always new and adventurous stuff in the real estate world, Richard. Glad you asked. I'm David Brown, realtor with High Point Properties. Phone number 508-277-3297. And the other day I was in the multiple listing service, the MLS, came across a piece of property. Exactly what my investor likes to have. He likes a full basement. He likes city water. He likes town sewer. And then he'll fix up the property and sell it to somebody else. So I sent him the listing report, and he calls me back. He says, "Dave, it says here that this has a city sewage." And I'm like, "Yeah." And he says, "Well, it's in Seekonk. There's no city sewage in Seekonk." I'm like, "Well, let me call up the listing agent, and I'll find out what's going on." So I call up the listing agent, and she says to me, "Well, this was an inheritance that children are selling, and they told me that there's city sewage. But I'll find out." So me, impatient like I am, I call up the city and I find out that, long story short, there is no town sewage at this house. In the meantime, she sends me a text. "Oh, I just spoke with the kids. Absolutely positively, town sewage." And I send her back. I sent a letter back to her. I said, "Well, I just spoke to the town. They say there is no sewage. It's Title V, septic tank or cesspool, and probably a cesspool that doesn't work." So I'd call my investor, and he's like, "Well, there's one way to find out, and let's go." So we decide we're going to go down there. And, you know, I read the listing report, and I didn't print it. I read it after he brought it to my attention that there was no sewage. And then the next morning, I said, "Geez, I had better print out my own listing report so I have it when I go." So I print it out, and all of a sudden, it's private sewage. And it is up to the buyer's responsibility to take care of it.
Oh, good.
And so
$30,000 bill.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it changes the investment by 30 grand or 40, if depending on how many bedrooms there are. Mm-hmm. But we get into that later on. But, you know, I called up my investor. "How did we miss this?" And I suddenly realized it. She updated it and corrected it before I printed my copy the next morning. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, if I list your property for sale, I will know where the sewage is going. It's very important to know these things. So, again, David Brown, realtor, High Point Properties. Call me anytime at 508-277-3297. Thanks.
Thank you very much, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.